Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless.
Yeah!
Good evening, everybody. Happy Monday. So happy for you all to join us this evening. I want to welcome you. Thank you for tuning in. I do have my husband on the line with us. I just want you to say hello to the peoples.
Good evening. Welcome to the DNK Bible Break. Good evening, wife. And to all those that are listening out there, that are listening on the internet, and those that may have called in on the phone lines, we just want to say good evening. Hopefully you had a blessed weekend, and you started your week off today, and you've had a blessed day so far.
Amen, amen. I'm going to tell you like this. When I woke up today, I said, I don't know why it was so hard for me to get up this morning. Every day I'm fine, but for some reason that Monday morning, it may be in my head, but I'm so tired Monday morning. So I made it through the day, though. Thank God. One step at a time, I made it. So I hope you all had a good Monday and pray that you have a blessed rest of the week as well. So tonight we're going to be talking about wolves in sheep's clothing. So we're going to be talking about this in a spiritual sense, as well as in a natural sense. Now, keep in mind, I know we say this all the time, this is not a Bible study. We're having a conversation, and our conversation is based on what the Word says. So for all those that's been listening this last year, I want to say thank you. So to start us off, I had looked at this fable that was written, and it was about a wolf, and the wolf was hungry, and the wolf saw these sheep, and it was a pasture of sheep, but the shepherds were watching the flock heavily. What the wolf did was he ended up being out in the forest, and he saw some sheep skin, so he put the sheep skin on himself, or herself. I'm not sure. I didn't say if it was a male or female, but the wolf put the sheep skin on. And the wolf would watch the sheep, and, you know, little baby sheep came over because they thought it was the mother, and he ended up leading the baby sheep into the woods, and needless to say, he ate the sheep. So he kept studying. He was like, this is a good way for me to, you know, get fed when I'm hungry. I'm just going to mingle around these sheep. So every once in a while, every night whatsoever, he would come and he would get a sheep. And he just did this for a period of time. The next thing is the shepherd, he's looking like, okay, I'm going to have a good meal. I'm going to make me some beef stew tonight. So what he did was he got the fattest sheep, and he slaughtered that sheep and made him some stew. Just so happened to be that that fat sheep was that wolf. So with that parable, with that fable, it pretty much says, you know, you got to be careful what you're doing, because you eating the sheep, and then you become, you know, you're eating, you're preying on the sheep, and then you become the one that's in trouble. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. Wolf in sheep's clothing. So the wolf is symbolic for someone who outwardly looks harmless. They look kind with good intentions, but inwardly they are full of hate, evil, and deceit. And I know we've all come across somebody that we've seen, we thought was so nice. You hear the stories on the news all the time. Oh, they were so nice, and they were my neighbor, or they didn't give us no trouble at work. They were good. It's always something where you hear of these stories of people that were so nice, that had good intentions, but inward, these people, these wolves are full of hate, evil, and deceit. And they pretty much have desires for worldly gain and fame. They don't care about anything else but what their goal is. Their goal is to prey on whoever they need to prey on to get what they want. So the scriptures that we're going to be coming from tonight are Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16. Again, we're going to be breaking this down spiritually as well as naturally. So we'll be in and out spiritually as well as naturally to give a full circle of what we're going to be speaking about tonight. Before I go on, husband, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Yeah, first and foremost, giving honor to the Lord, head of my life, head of our life. This is really, when you hear it, pretty much people think of wolves in sheep's clothing, and when you hear about preachers, but we're going to try to cover it spiritual side, but also on a more of a natural side. You hear about these guys, I'm only speaking for guys because I'm a guy, who very nice, can romance you, can do all these things, but behind closed doors, they end up beating you, whether it's physically, mentally, or emotionally, they abuse you. Same significance as it's a wolf in sheep's clothing. They have everybody's food on the outside, but on the inside, they're just dirty people. And it's very easy because I know me personally, I know a lot of men that are like that. I also know a lot of people that I could have come up in the church who have been deceived by people who look like they could have been leaders or good brothers, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They know how to quote scriptures, but they're only around you to sow discord. They're only around you to cause confusion, and they want to make themselves seem better than everybody else. And if we're not careful, especially in the day we're living in today, we can very easily be deceived by wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's just what we're going to be talking about today. And hopefully that you'll get something out of it. We just want to put a light on people and what to look for because they're out there. And not necessarily you have to be a preacher to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. You don't necessarily have to be a leader in the church. You could be anybody with any type of stature. You could be a wolf in sheep's clothing. You could be that friend because you're nice and you say the right things, but yet you could mean harm to the person you're friending just because it's your nature, and they don't know it. So we just want everyone to be aware on tonight. Watch and be careful of the people that are around you. And just because they can talk the talk doesn't necessarily mean they walk in the walk.
Amen. You know, when you were, let me open up in prayer. Then I got a comment to make about what you just said. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. We ask that you be in the midst of everything that we do on tonight, decrease us and increase in us so that way you will be seen and not us. We ask that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Thank you for being our Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, when you were saying that, you know, I watch a lot of Lifetime and, you know, a lot of the movies that come on Lifetime, it's, you know, you have a friend that's not really your friend, but they pretend to be your friend. They're going to be your friend to take your man, or they're going to be your friend to take your position. They play nice. They tell you all the nice things. And then the next thing you know, things just start going wrong in your life. And I always wonder why they can't say, oh, that's the reason, because this didn't start happening until I let this person in my life or I introduced this person here. Just like in those movies I'm watching, I'm like, well, why can't they get it? But we do the same thing in life. We could be sitting in church, in the same church for many years, and it's a lot of things going on. You come to find out, I know we're not going to just put it on ministers or preachers or anything, but where I'm going right now is you come to find out your leader is involved in some mess, or your leader is actually, if you pay attention, they're not preaching salvation. They're not preaching repentance. They're preaching, prophesying blessings and world prosperity. Nothing about heavenly prosperity. They're not preaching about hell. They're not rebuking any sin. But instead, they can't rebuke something that they're doing. They can't rebuke a sin they're committing. And they don't speak of righteousness and things along that line. If you're in that type of situation where you got to check it, if they ain't talking about hell, if they ain't talking about sin, they ain't talking about rebuking, repentance, I question if that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So in the book of Matthew, we are warned about these false teachers and false prophets. They twist the truth of the scripture to fit their own agenda. They deceive their congregation with false prophecy and teaching. So the first verse that I'm going to go into is Matthew 7:15. It says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Now, you may be wondering, how can you tell? I just gave you a couple of examples right there. A lot of times these people have a love for power, and it's all about them. They love themselves. They promote themselves. I this, I that. And it's more of an I situation, and they love the status of being in power. They walk around with their head in the clouds, and everybody is bowing at their feet. And I hear a lot of people saying, my church, my members. And I'm like, these are God's people. You are just the leader that's over the people. This is not yours. This is God. So I see a lot of that going on. They use their position to create these rules and standards, which were never part of God's plan. They don't want to empower the people with freedom and truth, but they would rather keep the people under their power with boundaries. So they try to gain and hold onto power for their own selfish reasons. And the lost believers without a strong biblical foundation are at risk to be deceived by the wolf, who in reality is a worker of the devil. Their tactics, they mimic those of Jesus. That's what they do. They're just mimickers. They promote a message of salvation, which is founded upon anything other than faith in Jesus Christ. Again, it goes back to being these prosperity preachers, and, I think his name is Popoff or somebody, with this water and this spirit, this miracle water and all this stuff going on. It's like, preach the word. The word has enough power. The Bible has enough power. You don't need to add no gimmicks to it or nothing outside of what the word is saying should be going on. And if it is, I would say check where you're at. So, husband, go ahead. Did you want to add anything?
I don't want – it's easy, clear of, the false prophets. And it's very easy to fall under – or be deceived by someone. And we got to realize, just in a normal sense, the devil knows the word too. The devil know how to quote scriptures. And it you know, and if you get a chance, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil was using the word to try to tempt Jesus. And we got to be careful of that, because people can come, and because they know how to quote a scripture, because they know how to put a message together, but yet and still, are they living what you're preaching? That even goes for me. We get on the radio, am I living what I'm preaching? It's one thing to get on here and say this, sound intelligent and know how to quote scriptures, but am I living it? And the thing about, how do you know? Well, you're going to hear someone talk about hell. You're going to hear someone talk about repentance. You're going to hear someone talk about some of the things that you have to do. And sometime when you fall down, and the truth hurts. So therefore, if I'm not hurting in some area in my life where the truth is being said, I consider my wife my best friend. I'm just using an example. There's certain things that she will tell me that can't no one else tell me, because it's going to hurt, but it's going to come from her. And if she doesn't tell me certain things, and vice versa, and I'm not saying we're hurting each other, but sometimes you have to spread the truth where there's darkness. And if the person isn't spreading truth where there's darkness in your life, then you have to question. I'm not saying all the time, I'm just saying majority of the time, if you want to be real with it, the message that you're getting, whether it's from a Bible study, whether it's from the past, something should hurt you at some point in time. Tells me that I can mingle and I can, do this and do that. Then that's what I'm considering a wolf, someone that's going to hurt me, and someone that's going to lead me to a road that's not spiritual, but also on a spiritual decline. It's okay if you drink a little liquor. It's okay if you flirt a little bit. It's okay. And you don't ever hear no one talk about it and tell you what will happen. It's a sin to fornicate. It's a sin to be drunk. It's a sin to lie. But if you beating around the bush on all these issues and you never just come out and call it what it is, then the truth ain't in you. And that's pretty much what we're trying to say. Also, on another note, trying to keep it there for those that are listening, you might be dating. You might be dating a man that's giving you everything that you want. But at the end of the day, he's bad-mouthing you. He's putting his hands on you. And let's say he don't have to put his hands on you. He could verbally be abusing you mentally. He could be abusing you verbally. You got to be careful. Just because it looks good and he brings you flowers around your family doesn't necessarily mean that he's a good guy or a good woman or a good person. So you just got to be careful. It's not just people that go to church that could be deceived by wolves. There's people in your everyday life, your bosses, your friends, your family members. They could be all tricking you because they have an evil spirit in them. And because you don't see that evil spirit because they're doing too many good things, or because they helped you out, gave you a couple of dollars or did something nice for you, but because they did something nice, they have a hidden agenda. You got to be careful about them type of people. And it's not always the minister. It's not always the preacher that's a wolf. And I know majority of the time that's what we're talking about, and that's how the scripture describes it. But it also, you have to dissect it down different parts and segments. It's just not preachers. It could be your brother. It could be your sister. It could be anybody that's trying to not be truthful spiritually with you. I hope that makes sense.
That makes sense. And that brings up a point that I wanted to make. A lot of these wolves, they use emotions to get what they want. See, a wolf knows the power of words and emotions to manipulate people. They know how to use their power. They know how to use words. They're manipulators. They're master manipulators. They can use anything from guilt or shame or even fear, you know, to keep people under their power. And you find that a lot, like you said, in relationships. I was at one point in a similar relationship where it was a lot of this going on. this person was not saved. And it was like, I called them a chameleon. And it's like they blend in, whatever crowd they're with, they blend in with that crowd. They were able to just be manipulative to anybody. If they in church, they're going to act like the church people. If they with they homeboys, they gonna act like they homeboys. They know how to put on that mask and they know how to take it off. And they know when to speak those sweet words of compliments, and they know when to use those words to cut you down to make make you feel insecure. So a lot of people know how to, or a lot of wolves know how to run game, if I can say it like that. And they appear to be loving. They appear to be wanting the best for you. They appear to just have your best interest at heart. And it may seem like that's the road they're leading you down, but they have a hidden agenda. They have a reason for what they're doing, whether it's to keep you paying your tithes and offering, whether it's to keep you from hanging out with your homegirls because they want to keep you to themselves. I mean, all of this is like just manipulative behavior. It's just something that when I was younger, I didn't pay it too much attention because I'm thinking, okay, that's how somebody show you love. And when you don't know any better, when you don't get into the word, you think everybody is for you because they giving you, telling you all this good stuff, and it looks like they trying to help you. But if you get into your word and you study on the spiritual sense, you'll see that things ain't what they appear to be. Even naturally, if you get into your word, you'll see, hold on, this relationship, something is wrong. This ain't the way it's supposed to be. But you have to, the bottom line is you have to get in your word. And the only way that you're going to be able to know something is fake or know if somebody is fake, you have to know what's real. Without knowing what's real, how can you tell what's fake? And a lot of times we don't know what's real. We go by, oh, they spoke a good word, or they have these great theatrics where they jumping around and they know how to roll in the floor and speak in tongue and do all these things, or she know how to make me happy. She can make me a good meal. Any just stuff, all of this stuff. If you don't know the real, if you think somebody is being real with you or fake with you, you can find out. But you have to study what's real. Real is the word of God. The more you study the word of God, the more you're going to know, nah, this don't add up. Something ain't right. If somebody is talking to you in a way where we all have that feeling of something don't add up with that person, or something rubbing me the wrong way with that person, whether you want to say it's the Holy Spirit for us believers, or whether you want to say naturally, something just ain't right about that person. There is something on the inside giving you red flags, but we don't pay attention to them. We just bypass it and say it's probably all in our head. We read too much into it. But I encourage you to pay attention to those signs. Pay attention because they're here for a reason. Did you want to add anything?
It's very important. And over a period of time, when you become saved, I'm talking to the saved people now, the Lord will give you discernment. And discernment, I like to use it because I like to think that when the Lord tells me something or shows me something, you know, he'll tell me along beforehand. This is why it's funny when you know, I've been with the Lord a long time, and I'm not saying I'm perfect or anything, but I do have discernment. And sometimes you just have to watch and be quiet. Because if you watch and be quiet, sometimes people can just show their hands. And it's just that simple. I'm one of them type of people. You know, I love being saved. I love the Lord. I just love being saved. I can be corrected. I can be told, well, you're not doing this right. And the Lord knows that about me. But also at the same time, over the years, he gives you the spirit of discernment. It just don't look right. It just doesn't seem right. One of the things I believe is a gift of mine, I can tell when someone is hurting and they got a smile on their face and they never told me nothing. It's just signs. And I believe that if you've been with the Lord long enough, you'll know. You'll know signs. You know, it's funny, I like to say with the grandkids, you know, you can go to them and you give them some candy and they can be real happy. But sometimes if you go to them and you try to give them something and something don't look right, something's wrong, you can tell by their reaction to certain things, something's just not right. The atmosphere just don't feel right. You know it with your kids. You know it with your spouse. My wife can say hello, and by the way she says hello, I can pretty much dictate what's going on. I ain't saying I'm right 100% of the time, but I'm about in the 95% range. I know when something's not right. You hear it. You sense it. And it's something that you get when you're with the Lord and you're studying the Word. He'll just give it to you, and you'll just know. There was one day that we were in church, and I was little, and there was this prophet that came to my father's church. It was a father and a son. The wife and the daughters, they really just sat down. They didn't participate in any of the church. The father would get up and preach, and during the altar call, he would get up and call his son to come up. His son was no more than about 12 or 13. Son would start laying hands on people. People would start falling out. And in the middle of the service, in the middle of them praying, I've never seen this before because my father and the elders had to shut it down. And I never seen the church be shut down because when the boy was praying, he was praying to the devil. And if you didn't catch what he was saying, and people in the church were just falling out. You know, the Holy Rollers is always fall out. They were just falling out. Right. And it was, I never forget it. It was like in like 1986. Mm-hmm. And he had to stop it because the little boy, it wasn't the father. He was praying to a dark spirit. And it just really dawned on me how the people, who I want to call them Holy Ghost filled, wasn't listening or in tune to the spirit. They were controlled by the asterisks. And because they were in the church. And I'm like, wow, how did we, you know, and some of the people that was falling out was on the intercessory prayer team. My father, how can y'all not see, how can y'all not get that? He understood how the sheep could have been fought, you know, people that's new in church, but some of the prayer warriors were just falling out. And that always stuck with me. And it's very careful. You got to be careful when you hear how a person prays. You got to be careful when you hear a person talk. You got to be careful. And I'm not saying that people don't make mistakes or people don't live 100% holier than thou. But at the same time, you just got to be careful because people will try to convince you and control you. And you just got to be careful. That's one sense that I know when we said we were going to talk about this. One of the early signs when I was a little boy, when I seen that happen, and my father used to be careful when you let someone pray over you. Listen to how they pray. Listen. And listen who they're praying to. Not only that, but it's a step further because there's a lot of females that's in church that are single. And what happened is men, people who come to church know when they see a female that they're weak. I'm not saying all females are weak. I'm not talking about all females. But because they're in church, they're looking for something. And most people go to church, they're looking to have a relationship. They're also looking to get a man, a God-fearing man. And this is the perfect way for me to trick someone. Oh, I'm a God-fearing man. I know how to quote these scriptures. I can do this. But behind closed doors, if you don't do A, B, and C, I'm going to go upside your head. And if you're not careful and you're weak-minded, you could fall for that trap. and then you know that you're in that situation for years and years and years, and you think it's okay when it's not, and you're being abused. All because they know how to quote scriptures, and they know how to be, charismatic. And it's just very important, and it's important for us and, you know, what God put on our heart to let people know, be careful who you get involved with. Spiritually, emotionally, financially, because there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. You could have friend that's sucking you dry financially. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Got to be careful. Going behind your back. Stealing. Just taking stuff. And you don't even know it. And next thing you know, you're years involved in it, and you don't even know that these people are around you, just taking from you. So it's just very important that you just be careful. And it's very important that you recognize who you surround yourself by. And you recognize that when you in church, you got to be careful, because there's people who's trying to, I'm just going to use the word, kill you spiritually. You just got to be careful.
Amen. That's so true. I'm going to just say it like this. A lot of the times, I don't know if it still happens now because I'm not familiar with it, but I know back in the day you have guest pastors that come in, everybody want to get in the line for somebody to put their hands on them. And it's like what you just said is a prime example of why you shouldn't run to everything. I understand your leader should know who's in front of his people. At the same time, you need to be praying, asking the Lord, do I go up here or do I not? Don't just be so quick to go and let somebody put their hands on you, because it's a lot of people out here that, you know, they laying their hands on you to see if they can lay their hands on you later, if you catch my drift. So just be careful. And I'm speaking from a woman's perspective. You know, they getting a feel for you. So just pay attention.
Yeah, and now, that could be a subject for a different day, but that is very true. Just be careful. Be very, very careful who you let put your hands on you. Now, if you're in church and you've been there a while, you know everybody, that's one thing. And I'm not, but you just got to be careful. I could be wrong, but, you know, I don't think we live in that day anymore where you got guest preachers coming and laying hands on everybody anymore, because I don't know if they do that anymore or not, but back in the day, they used to always do that. And you know, you're getting me on a subject for a different day, especially when you go to them conferences and everything, Church of God conferences, Baptist, don't really matter what it is. I just been to all of them. And I'm just going to say it. It started out as good and good fellowship, good teaching, good way of learning how to build yourself up in the Lord, and you build up brotherhood and sisterhood and all of that. But at some point we got off of that, and the world crept into the church. So when you go to these conferences now, it's just like going out in the world. It's the same mentality, you know. But yeah, it's church. You're gonna be entertained. The choir is going to be off the hook. You're going to have different speakers saying wonderful things, but there's a hidden agenda behind it. And I'm not saying everyone that goes to it is doing this, but majority of the people is doing this. And, you know, I was a part of it for years. And, you know, I have to turn my head because you see stuff that you know that's not right. And back in the day when you would go to a conference that would be from Sunday to Sunday, you know, and you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, the ministers are up there and the pastors and the elders are up there by themselves. Wives don't only come to Thursday, that Thursday night. That's for a reason. And I don't care if anyone tell me, I didn't mean to both of them. And I saw the reason that wives didn't come to that Thursday night. And every church, you know who's going to be there. You know the faithful ones that's going to show up. Who's going to be there? There's always some single mamas that's going to be there every night. And once you're there every night and you ain't bring no man no night, don't think men don't notice that. And the same woman always runs off going up to the for prayer, want to talk afterwards. Then you wonder why the church is full of what it is right now. I'm just being, you know, this is what we grew up with. This is what I've been exposed to. And then they tell me, you can't say that. That don't always happen. That's an isolated situation. It's not an isolated situation if it's happening time and time again. There's even now, I have minister, pastor friends who have illegitimate kids. Where did it happen at? The conference.
Huh.
And don't no one know about it until years later when they find out they got another sister or brother. Mama knew about it, just didn't want to say nothing about it. Now everybody knows about it, and it's common. It's common. Look at some of these mega preachers. See how many illegitimate kids they got. See where they come from. Because they're always on the road doing something, doing the Lord's work. No, that's not doing the Lord's work, and you out there committing adultery and fornication. It's not doing the Lord's work when you're trying to take the mind of young women so you can manipulate them to have sex with them. Or manipulate them to have money, give you your money. And a lot of this comes, and again, we're going to be talking about it in a few weeks, because there's no father figures. There's no real men that's going to step up and challenge someone if you're wrong and challenge a wolf because you know him. That's one thing about me. I know him. And I'm very reluctant to have, you know, with my family. You just can't pray for my family. I got to check you out. Got to make sure everything is cool. And I hope you do the same. Check me out. Make sure I'm cool. I ain't got nothing to hide. So, you know, you ain't going to find nothing with me. But if I can say it, then I should be able to be, you know, if I'm going to check you out, you should be able to check me out. And if we cool, we cool. But if something's wrong with you, that's when people will come out and say, well, Ollie, you can't say that. Well, if you're doing it, if you're living the life and I can't check you on something, if you ain't doing it, then you shouldn't have no problem with it. You shouldn't have no problem with it. I think it was a year ago. My son went back to Ohio. He went to visit a church. And they wanted him to come up for prayer because they knew who I was or whatever. And because he kept asking where was I at. And he just said, just didn't feel right. If they was going to pray for him, why didn't they just pray for me and just leave it at that? Why did they have to ask a lot of questions about my whereabouts? Something just didn't ease right with it. And I didn't want to tell my son because I didn't want to discourage him in anything. But I just told him, you just got to be careful. You can't let everybody pray for you. And when people start asking a lot of questions about a lot of stuff, you just got to just, okay, something, okay. You just got to be cool. Because people that know Oliver, and I'm going to get off this, know that I'm going to question certain things. So if you're going to pray for my, go ahead, pray. But no, I'm going to ask a couple questions. And I'm going to find out because we're not going to, one thing, I just don't play when it comes to mine. And I'm very particular. I will apologize later if I'm wrong. But if I'm right, then we're going to have something to deal with. But if I'm wrong, I've been wrong before. My bad. My bad. And see, the thing about a man is you could be wrong and you can apologize and keep it moving. Oh, I don't roll like that. Okay, well, cool. I'm just checking. I respect you for checking. But if you got an issue, and I know we talked about R. Kelly, but if you got an issue and you're starting to get nervous and trying to clean up stuff, then, yeah, we're going to have to just figure out what's going on. Are you a pervert like that? Or are you trying to do stuff that you ain't got no business knowing? That's why you just got to be careful. You got to be careful.
You know.
One more thing, I'm gonna go. One more thing, I promise you, I'm gonna be quiet. When we did my first revival, and I think I told my wife, I had talked to a musician here in Lawrenceville, and play. And at this time, I was taking my wife's daughter to work at the mall. She worked at the mall. So I went and I told him I would meet him at the mall. I didn't tell him why I was going to the mall, just the location. You're going to be at Sugarloaf? Okay, I'll be there. So when I went, I dropped my wife's daughter off. And I saw the young man. He told me what he was going to have on. He didn't know what I looked like, but I knew what he was. So when I dropped my wife's daughter off and I went to go park, I watched him look at my wife's daughter. And it just bothered, something spiritual, just a dark thing came over me. Why we want to do business with you? I go up and say nothing to him about it. He didn't even know what was going on. But that instant, the Lord showed me, you don't want this man up in your church. Just by the way he was looking at my wife's daughter, it just rubbed me the wrong way. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to even. The Lord told me that to go a different direction. And I'm just saying, sometimes you have to let the Lord lead and guide you in every aspect of your life. And in order to do that, you have to be in tune with his word. And, why do I got to study? If you just take a scripture a day, and I don't care if you read the same scripture over and over and over and over again, that's communicating with the Lord. And when you communicate with him, he will start communicating with you. And you ain't got to be deep with it, and you ain't got to read, you know, from Genesis to Revelation in a week. But if you just start reading a little bit of scriptures, a little bit, and like my dad used to say, if you don't understand nothing, just read all the red in the Bible. If you just read all the red in the Bible, it opens up a relationship. You're not going to understand everything all at once. But that's how you communicate with the Lord, and the Lord can communicate with you.
Amen. There's a couple of points that you made that I wanted to piggyback off of. The one when we were talking about, you know, the minister, a minister or preacher, or whatever, praying on the women, and you know, they leave their wives at home or whatever. And from personal experience, as well as other females that I do know in my past, I know the leader would pray on if you're in church and your spouse is not in church. To me, you have to be careful because they're watching and they think they can slide in because your spouse is not there, especially if your spouse is not in church, period. Anytime, functions, any events, regular Sunday, they don't show up, or they know your spouse is not saved. They're going to come and they're going to try to come for you. Now, I'm not saying this is all churches and all leaders. I'm just telling you, based off my experience, it's possible. So it's important to, and they can be married. They're married too. The preacher is married, and their first lady is right by them, or their first lady is somewhere in the sanctuary, but they want to be up in your face or ask you, you know, they make you know you feel uncomfortable. You know the feeling that you feel when somebody is talking to you and the conversation is uncomfortable. There's no way you should be telling me that your wife don't rub your feet. That's none of my business. But they get in where they can. So just be careful of the conversations that you have with people. It doesn't even have to be the leader. It could just be anybody in the church. If they're making you feel uncomfortable, if they're coming at you sideways, then just go the opposite direction. Because there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. The real man of God is not going to come for you like that. He's not going to come at you like that. He will be respectful, following what the word, how the word tells him, and it will line up with what the Lord is telling you. So it will be on one accord. So if you married and the preacher's married, y'all don't really got a conversation to be had. Where your wife at? That's why I like going. I love my church. My pastor loves his wife, and I love it. My first lady loves her husband, and I love it. I look for a church where the pastor and the wife are unified. It ain't going to be no mess. I can see he love her, she love him. We ain't got to deal with no mess like that. And that's my history has taught me that's the route you need to go because people are shady. And that's one thing I wanted to say. You also mentioned about, you know, if you do something and you can be corrected. Really, if you are a sheep and you're studying, you're trying to grow in the word, you can be corrected. We should all be able to be corrected if need be. But when you confront a wolf that's in sheep's clothing, the response will not be of humility or any type of repentance. They're going to respond with anger, bitterness, and a lot of the times they're going to turn it around on you and they're going to start criticizing you. So they're going to flip the script. So if you got somebody in your life, whether it's a friend, a coworker, they're going to flip the script. So you can't correct them. You're going to make them upset. Their main goal in life is self-preservation. It's all about them. And they're not going to let anybody get in the way of what they're doing, especially if they're in a position of authority. So you got to pay attention to that wolf in sheep's clothing. So I wanted to touch on that. And the last thing I want to do is give the second part of the scripture that we're talking about tonight, Matthew 7:15-16. Verse 16, pretty much it says, by their fruit you will recognize them. So like we were saying, they may be able to appear loving, gentle in front of other people. They may be able to mask all that and look this way, and they look like a sheep. They dress like a sheep. They talk like a sheep. They can do all that the sheep do. However, behind closed doors, there's no kindness. There's no gentleness. There's no self-control or any other of the fruit of the Spirit. And you can find the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. So they tell the sheep that unless they do it this way or do it that way, then they're not going to be blessed, which is contrary to what the word says. If they're doing something that's not loving, kind, gentle, self-control, if they're flying off the handle at the smallest thing, you got to pay attention, because if they don't have the fruit, I would question what they're doing, because everything that, you know, you do eventually will come to light. The truth will be brought out. If you live long enough, the truth is going to come to the light. And there's another scripture I wanted to share with you. 1 Corinthians 4:5, he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. They will be found out. Eventually, somebody's going to find them out. So God forbid it's going to be in a bad situation, but they will be found out. So, you know, we don't have to keep wandering through this life blindly. You know, we do have the word that's able to lead us and guide us. We have the Holy Spirit. If we submit, if we hold our hands up and surrender and submit to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will open our eyes for us to see what's really in front of us. The Holy Spirit will open our ears for us to hear what's in front of us. But we have to want it. We have to seek it. We have to press for it. You got to keep pressing. You just can't say, okay, Lord, show me what you want to show me, and you're doing whatever you want to do with your life, living any kind of way, ain't picking up your word. You're not serious. Get serious so the Lord can open your eyes and show you what's really in front of you if you are dealing with a wolf in sheep's clothing. Husband, you want to add anything?
Yes, real quick. I'm going to make this brief. Just remember, you know, the Lord can talk to you just as well as he can talk to the leader of the church. You know, the Lord can talk to you. You don't have to be an elder, a deacon, an evangelist. He can talk to everybody the same way. But don't think because I'm Elder Oliver, the Lord speaks to me differently than he speaks to just someone sitting on the pew. If you have the hunger and the thirst of studying the word, and the only way you can get close to the Lord is to do his word, he'll talk to you the same way. And I shouldn't say that, but I know back in the day coming up, we used to think the only Lord only talked to the head of the church, the elders. He ain't taught nobody else but the elders and the preacher. That was it. So when someone said, Lord told me to tell you something, you believe that. And here's where the manipulation comes in. No, you got to, the Lord will tell you what's right. The Lord will lead you just as quick as someone will tell you. If you have a relationship with the Lord, before someone even come up and tell you anything, you're going to already know. It's either going to be confirmation or not. People tell me all the time, prophecy over me, and they be prophesying a lie because I ain't nowhere near. The Lord ain't never told me nothing remotely even close to what they're saying. And a lot of people, I know the Lord told me that you blessed. Well, yeah, I'm blessed. You know, the Lord ain't just told you. They told me that, too. I am blessed. And I'm highly favored. You know, and I can see people in church every day and be like, I can tell that you're blessed. Not because of any insight, but just because the Lord woke you up this morning. You're blessed. And most people I talk to, they look well. I know they're eating every day. So I know that you're blessed. So it's not hard. The Lord will talk to you just like you talk to everybody else. I really don't want to get on to a different subject, but I feel myself going
but
there.
In line with what you're saying, though, there's a lot of wolves out there that tell the sheep that, you know, unless you pay your tithes or unless you donate here or unless you're doing this, then, you know, God can't hear from them. And they want to act as mediators between the people and the Lord. It's like you got to go through brother so-and-so. You got to go through sister. You got to go through the pastor. You got to go through the bishop. You got to go through all these people to get to the Lord. And 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us there is only one mediator between God and humanity, and that's Jesus Christ. The veil was torn. God is the only mediator, but Jesus is the only one we got to go through to get to his Father. You ain't got to go through all that. Talk to him. But make sure you accepted him into your heart. You got to accept him in order to be able to talk to him. He said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And they're known to him. So do he know you? That's the question. So. All right, my last point I want to make. I was talking about, you know, people being fake and, you know, they perpetrating like they sheep, but they actually wolves. They perpetrating like they good people, but they actually fake and phony people. And in order to spot what's fake, like I said earlier, you have to study what's real. So we have to keep pressing to know God, and we have to know that God is real, God is the truth, and we set our minds on his word. And we do that by spending time there and meditating on his word, and eventually become, you know, trained in detecting the fake. So I was thinking about this. You know, the Fed, they're trained to detect counterfeit money, right? And by learning how to spot the fake, that's how they know what's real. So they spend hours and hours studying real money, so that way they know every detail of the real money, and they'll know immediately when they see something if it's counterfeit. If we get into our word, if we study the word of God, he will show us what's counterfeit. He will show us what's fake. But you got to press. You got to get into the word. You got to meditate on the word. You got to study. You got to ask the Spirit to lead and guide you. And you also have to submit to the authority of the Spirit over your life. You know, our God is faithful. He'll guide us. He'll lead us if we ask. He'll lead us. He's there. He wants us to know the truth. Get into your word. You'll know the truth. I'm not going to say that you won't have somebody that may come along. They may be really good at what they do, and you'll be like, oh, you got me right there. It won't happen again. it won't happen again, because I know I didn't get God plenty of times, so I know it won't happen again in the name of Jesus. So, all right, husband, I don't have anything else. I'm going to give the last scripture, John 16 and 13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So let the Spirit lead, let the Spirit guide. Oh, I'm sorry, I had one more scripture. Jeremiah 23 and 1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. So men of God, pastors, preachers, lay members, deacons, ushers, anybody in the church, do right by God's people. Girlfriend, boyfriend, sister, brother, let's do right. Treat people how you want to be treated. Don't be out here just doing stuff all willy-nilly and being evil, just having evil in your heart for no reason. Get in the Word. Go talk to somebody. Get some help. Get yourself together. That's it. Go ahead, husband. I'll let you take it from here.
I'm going to go ahead and get ready to dismiss, but can you do those good old scriptures back when I get finished? Just for some people, man, miss them. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Again, we just want to thank y'all for joining us tonight. And again, we like to iterate that, you know, we're not trying to have a Bible study and break down everything, but everyday life, I'm going to say in all of our camp, is when we come on Monday, we just try to scripturally and try to deal with things where we're at, and hopefully that you're going through something or you see something that can either be a conversation that can lead you to go to the Bible to learn more about what we're talking about, or, you know, however the Lord leads you or guides you to do certain things. This is just the platform that the Lord gave us to do in our household. And it's been a blessing for us. For those that listen in on a weekly basis, thank you. We appreciate you. And, you know, hopefully it can inspire you and that you can grow. This little hour of your day on Mondays, hopefully you'll open your Bible up and it'll teach you something or you can learn something. But that's all that we're trying to do on this side of it. We don't think we know everything, and if you listen to us talk, we don't know everything, but we do have experiences of some things and how to help you through our experience that got us through whatever we're talking about at the particular time. And it's just very important because I see a lot of people being manipulated, men and women, by the foxes and the wolves. So just be careful, you know, who you call friend and who you call brother. And just be careful because everybody ain't praying for you for the right reason. Just know that.
Amen.
Also on tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and every Tuesday night, we have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study on every Tuesday night. And that's where you can listen and you can divide the word. Come join us on Tuesday night Bible study, because that's what it is. It's Bible study. We're going to study the Bible, and you can learn and be taught. And we have a panel of people who are, I like to say, spiritually enough, they can get us what we need, get us fed the Word of God. So every Tuesday night on the same website, same time, same phone number, Tuesday night, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Also Thursday night is Bishop Omar Zachary Family Ministries. Then on Sunday we have Praise Tabernacle Church at 9 a.m. And also you can follow that on Facebook Live at Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. You can catch Thursday night and Sunday morning Facebook Live, or you can just listen to it on your phone by calling the 845 number or coming to the same website that those are listening to us all over the place. And we just want to say thank you for supporting us. Also, I have a little side note. On Chaos Talk Radio, you know, not only do we do Praise Tabernacle, but we also have another new show coming on Fridays at 7 p.m. to 7:45. We're going to have Pastor Sam. He filled in for me a couple weeks ago on a Friday night, and he's going to continue every Friday night, Pastor Sam. He'll be on giving a word, a teaching every Friday night at 7 to 7:45 starting this Friday. I just want to say thank the Lord for, you know, allowing him to be able to minister again all over the world. And if you ain't doing nothing on Friday from 7 p.m. to 7:45, you can continue to get your word on. Also, we have Vent Break every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. every Wednesday morning. If you want to get an encouraging word from Vent Break, it's an extraordinary is elder and evangelist Boulette's daughter who does a fabulous job every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. It's called Vent Break, and she's going to inspire you, your midweek inspiration through the Word of God. The Lord is doing so much, and I'm just trying to let the Lord use me any way that he can use me. And like I said before, just keep us in prayer. Keep me and my wife in prayer. Keep all the shows that we have on in prayer, because we're on every day. Every day during the week, we're not missing a day. And every time that we fire up, thousands upon thousands of people are hearing the Word of God. There's some nursing facilities over in London and over in Germany that are listening to us. Every time we come on, they're listening to us. And on Friday night, they have their own special. Anyone can listen, but Friday night is pretty much dedicated to them over there. I just want to say thank you to my engineers who make sure that this is going out and everyone is listening. I just want to thank them for just for being a blessing to me. And with that being said, hopefully I got everything in there. Continue to pray for those from Praise Tabernacle. Pray for our bishop and then the first lady. Continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for all the elders, all of the evangelists. Just continue to pray for everyone, because we're all going through something. And just continue to, that we can all be uplifted in the Lord. Again, I just want to say thank everybody for joining us tonight. In a great mood tonight. The Steelers won yesterday, so it just makes my week that much easier knowing that we won the football game. It just makes it that much easier knowing. And it's a little bittersweet knowing that Atlanta lost. It just makes it that much better. So for all the Steelers fans and Steelers Nation, you know, we weren't supposed to win yesterday, but we won. So that's a good one right there. And wife, I'm gonna let you dismiss us. I think I said all the announcements that we've had to say, and we'll be back next Monday with another topic that we'll be talking about, and hopefully that you'll join us tomorrow night for Bible study. With that, I'm gonna go ahead and say good night from me. And my wife is going to pray and dismiss us out.
All right. I'm going to give out the scriptures for tonight. The subject, wolf in sheep's clothing, came from Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16. I also gave out tonight Galatians 5, 22 through 23. 1 Timothy 2 and 5, and the last one is John 10 and 14. Well, I'm sorry, that's not the last one, but John 10 and 14. The last one is John 16 and 13. So John 16 and 13 is the last one. I pray that something was said. If it wasn't for you, it wasn't for you. But if it was for someone else, I thank God for allowing them to take what was said and grow with it and allow it to be used properly, help them in this walk. All right, so I'm going to pray us out. And, again, we thank you all for tuning in. Look forward to coming back again on next week if the Lord says the same. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for just allowing us to once again just give what you have for us to give to your people. Father God, we ask that you just continue to let your will be done in our lives. We ask that you continue to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father God, we ask that you on this night, I pray for the people in the medical field dealing with the COVID numbers rising once again. I pray for them. I pray for their if they do have to go home to their children and their loved ones, I pray for them right now. I ask that you continue to keep them covered under your precious blood. I pray for our country as a whole. I pray for the people that are in the wake of the storm out in Houston for this next hurricane that's coming through, or I guess it's a storm, some type of storm. But I pray for them on tonight. I pray that you continue to just let your will be done in our lives and ask that you continue to lead and guide us throughout the rest of this week. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. Good night, everybody.